Indeed, good to be back in the Lord's house this afternoon. We are in the study of the book of James in the afternoons, here on Sunday afternoons. So we're in James chapter 2. If you want to turn your Bible to James chapter 2, we'll begin in verse 1, then we'll skip down to verse 8. James is writing to Jewish believers scattered abroad in the world that are citizens of the kingdom of God. He is admonishing them throughout the book of James to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Only by placing actions to their faith. It's a call to grow in maturity and wisdom. This afternoon's text is a continuation where Brother Jason left off last week. Part 2 of the folly of favoritism, the sin of partiality. Let's read verse 1 of James chapter 2. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Now slip down to verse 8. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You do what? You do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy, that has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we bow in your presence today. We pray that you would be with the prayer requests on the hearts and minds of your people. We pray, Father, that you would just pour out your grace, love, and mercy to us. Be with us this afternoon. Help us to glimpse from your word what you would have us to know in our hearts and minds, Lord. We thank you so much for your mercy, your grace, and truth, and kindness upon us. Father, help us to be more like Jesus Christ in our lives. Forgive us where we fell and sin against you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 1 admonishes believers not to show favoritism. Don't be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ with respect to persons. James develops further in verses 8 through 13 the sin of partiality and its consequences. Our Lord Jesus Christ is not one who is a respecter of person. He is not one to show partiality based on one's stature, wealth, or lack thereof, fame, standing in the community, or anything about that person. What he does is based upon his pure holiness and flawless nature, and not what men do or don't do or who they are. Which of you would have chosen Saul of Tarsus, sinner by nature since birth, enemy of God, devout Pharisee, yes, but a persecutor of the Christian church, which made him, in that time, as we might say, number one public enemy of God and of Christians. But God, full of mercy and grace and truth, sent one and only his only begotten Son to redeem Saul of Tarsus out of that sin of rebellion and catastrophe of his life against a holy God. He pulled him out of that rebellion of sin and wickedness and drew him to himself. Caused him to be saved by the grace of God. Poured out his grace upon Saul of Tarsus. And Saul then became Paul, one of the greatest missionaries to ever live. Obedience to God follows Christ's example and rejects favoritism. Follow along again as we read verses 8 through 11 of our text. If you fulfill the law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. But if you have respect to persons, you commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. We are to fulfill the royal law. Law passed down by the king. He's our sovereign ruler. And it's a sovereign law. By loving, he says, by loving thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But be warned, those who do not love their neighbors as themselves, but have respect to persons for whatever reason or reasons, commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors, lawbreakers of the kingdom of the Most High God, unholy and self-centered, who are the brethren, but lowly servants of a great and mighty king. Who are you to determine who is fit or unfit? Who is worthy or unworthy? Are you the king? Indeed not. And the king's law declares to love thy neighbor as thyself. You might ask, well, who is our neighbor? Those who live close, maybe right next door, across the street, maybe on your road or on your street, in your neighborhood. Jesus brings clarity as to who our neighbor is, and he is dealing with a lawyer. Turn with me into a very familiar passage of Scripture found in Luke chapter 10. If you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Our pastor preached from this passage not very long ago. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke 10, 25, we read, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? He answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, Who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, with a parable, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he saw him at that place, came and looked upon him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do likewise. Our neighbors then are those we cross paths with who may need a helping hand, who may need help in their lives with something, who may need a little bit of assistance with things. Neighbors then may be found wherever we go. Not just next door, not just across the street, not just in our neighborhood, but wherever we see someone in need. That is what is being taught here. Therefore, our text in James chapter 2, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 is simply saying, those of you who are fulfilling the royal law according to the Scripture and loving your neighbors, those that are in need, for assistance, as you would love yourselves, you're doing well and are being obedient to the king's laws and decrees. But those of you who are showing more kindness and respect simply because of a person's status, or maybe thinking something like, what's in it for me, are committing sin and are lawbreakers. Even if you keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, You're guilty of all, the scripture says. To be one that shows respect of persons, partiality, is a transgression against God's law that He has established, that He considers very, very important. And it's essential for Christian living. We need to reach out to those that are in need and love and show mercy as you would want to be loved if you had that same problem or that same need. One of the songs that contemporary Christian artist Zach Williams and his band performs is called Less Like Me. Listen as I read the words of this song. Oh, I have days I lose the fight. Try my best, but just don't get it right. Where I talk a talk that I don't walk. And miss the moments before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't seem past myself, Lord, help me be. A little more like mercy. A little more like grace. A little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience. A little more like peace. A little more like Jesus. A little less like me. Yeah, there's no denying I have changed. I've been saved from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess, I still need the help to see the way you see. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be. A little more like mercy. A little more like grace. A little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience. A little more like peace. A little more like Jesus. A little less like me. Oh, I want to feed the beggar on the street. Love to be your hands and feet. Freely give what I receive. Lord, help me be. I want to put you first above all else. Love my neighbor as myself. In the moments no one sees, Lord, help me be. A little more like mercy. A little more like grace. A little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience. A little more like peace. A little more like Jesus. Oh, a little less like me. A little more of living everything I preach. A little more like Jesus. A little less like me. Oh, a little less like me. Lord, help us to see and then meet the needs of others. Help us to be more like Jesus, one who shows abundant mercy, love, and grace to those in need. James chapter 2, verse 12, then commands. In verse 12 of James chapter 2, turn back with us and read that verse again. James 2, 12. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. The words speak or do or act are in Greek tense that stresses the continuing nature of these actions. Be constantly speaking. Always be acting. Speak and act in such a manner as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. The law of liberty is that which liberates us from sin. Because of the freedom that we now have in Jesus Christ, we are no longer a slave to sin. Turn with me in your passages, your Bibles, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, let's read the first 14 verses of Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, we need to back up just one verse. We're talking about that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. The reigning love of grace that Jesus bestowed upon the sinners. That's what this is talking about. He says this, what, if we're saved, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ we raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Let's read verse 15 as well. But what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. True liberty comes from a life lived through obedience to God's laws, and not from living unholy or one that habitually practices sin. It is when we are truly living our lives as Christians that we are truly free. Obedience to God brings liberating freedom, peace, joy, and contentment. But believer, beware and know that ye have been liberated from that life of one who can do nothing but practice sin and will be judged accordingly. You've been liberated from that life. If you are a child of God, you're not one to be practicing sin and living in sin. You've been liberated from that life. So in living a life that is obedient to God, we must continually speak and act as true patriots and faithful citizens in the kingdom. The world is in chaos. You can look at the news, and it's discouraging me to watch the news, how much bad is going on in the news, shooting after shooting after shooting, and this rioting and this, that, and another. It's discouraging. Too many people are living for themselves, placing themselves ahead of others, and doing what's right in their own eyes. May this not be said of us. May we live our lives and do what is right in God's eyes.
Amen.
It's time to put your faith to work. But we'll leave that message for Brother Andrew next Sunday afternoon. Faith that works. We've talked about what godly obedience brings, but now in our text in James chapter 2, verse 13, James gives a stern punishment for the disobedient. James 2:13, the first part of that verse says, "For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy." Disobedience to God will bring judgment without mercy for those who have not shown mercy. We are in constant need of the Lord's kindness and mercy in our lives. Mercy is often defined as withholding that which is deserved, but it's also compassion in action. Let's look at the parable of the unforgiving debtor that illustrates acts of the merciful and merciless. Matthew chapter 18, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Begin reading in verse 21 of Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Jesus said unto him, "I say now unto thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down, worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will repay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave all of that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. In this parable, Jesus illustrates to Peter forgiveness and showing mercy as often as a brother or sister offends against him. I believe the same principle is being taught for one who practices a sin of partiality. One shall have judgment without mercy on those they have chosen or not chosen due to partiality. On the other hand, sweet, tender mercy is the reward for the obedient. Christ has declared in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5:7, these promising words, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Our Lord displayed being merciful to perfection. May we walk in His steps, showing mercy where mercy is needed, kindness where kindness is needed, help where help is needed. We are to aid others and help them to obtain their best outcomes, regardless of how we feel about them, and shun our prejudices and walk worthy of the vocation of which we are called. Finally, let's notice together, verse 13, second part of that verse in James chapter 13, second part says, which gloriously declares this, and mercy rejoices against judgment. After a soul-searching passage, James concludes this section with words of comfort and assurance. If we are merciful and obedient to God's laws, we can be assured of God's mercy upon us. Mercy is so much sweeter knowing judgment is deserved. Mercy truly does triumph over judgment, especially in the case of poor wretched sinners, which truly describes us all. Some saved by grace, and others still lost in their trespasses and sins, facing God's eternal punishment and judgment for the unrepentant sinner. Judgment upon all mankind is deserved, but God poured out His mercy and grace to undeserving, poor, wretched sinners as we are, and withholds His judgment because of love for the undeserving. Love for the rebellious, wayward child. Unconditional love. So great and wonderfully merciful that He gave His one and only Son, perfect and holy, one with the Father, as a ransom for many. I am thankful for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And I know you are too. If He has saved you out of that miry clay and brought you out in newness of life, you can just thank the Lord and praise God for what He has done, the salvation He has offered to mankind and to us. This is our position before a holy God. Judgment looks at what we deserve. Mercy looks at what we desperately need. And God himself looks at the cross of his beloved Son, pouring out grace and mercy to all who believe on him for salvation. God poured out his love, mercy, and grace upon us. Is there any on earth that we should not be merciful and loving to? You think about that statement. If God did so much for us, and is so merciful, and so kind, and so compassionate to us, is there any on earth we cannot be compassionate to, show kindness to, show mercy to? We are to be his hands and feet. Jesus left us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us. He is our King. How will you serve in his kingdom? You are to be his hands and feet. May we live for him in our lives.